those words of Christ as he kept speaking, especially the words where it says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that really made me wonder how much Christ must have gone through. And we have meditated upon it, as we cannot explain that as we were focusing our attention on it. We will continue our series on crosswords as we get into the fifth saying of Jesus on the cross. This is taken from John chapter 19 and verse 28. John chapter 19 and verse 28. Shall we all read this together, please, as it is projected, and it's also on your sermon notes all together. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Let's do this in Telugu. Those of us who have, I hope, microphones are passed along for us to be able to read it. Okay, let's read it in Telugu for those of us who understand it. In the meantime, can you please pass on the microphone? Telugu, please.
Atu tarvata samastamano apatiki samaptamainadani su erigi lekanamu neraveerunatlu nenu dappigonuchunnananenu.
Let's do this in Urdu language, please.
वो इसके बाद यीशु ने जान लिया कि अब सब बातें तमाम हुई ताकि नविष्टा पूरा हो तो कहा कि मैं प्यासा हूं.
One night a father sent his son to bed. He said, good night, son. Time to sleep. Lights off. And the moment the lights were off and the doors were closed, there was a scream from inside. Daddy! Can I have a glass of water? The dad said, you had your chance. I asked you, do you want water? You did not take then. You had your chance. And then father goes away. And then after 1 minute again, the son screams, Daddy, can I have a glass of water? Dad says the same thing. You had a chance, son. You had a chance. Lights off. Done. And then he said, Daddy, can I have some water? The dad said, enough. Next time when you call me, I'm going to come and spank you. Then the son says, Daddy, when you come next time to spank me, can you get me a glass of water? Everybody goes through thirst. I keep a glass of water with me because my throat gets dried up. I always tend to carry water with me. Even at home also, we tend to encourage our family members to have water, and in at home, we made it a water challenge, saying how many glasses of water are you going to drink each day, reminding each other even at work, how many glasses of water are you drinking in order to keep yourself and each other hydrated. Jesus went through thirst. Jesus went through thirst, and that is what we are going to meditate upon. In the present day world, every one of us know iPhones, iPads, iTunes, anything else, iPods. But there is a biblical thing which is I thirst. No app, no device can satisfy that. And the only one that can satisfy is what we are going to learn about. Jesus said, I thirst. In this present day world, if Steve Jobs was there, probably he might have understood that and hopefully have understood the way in which Christ suffered for him as well, for every one of us for that matter. He suffered and died. It seems Steve Jobs, when asked, said, I stands for individuality and inspiration, personalizing the power of technology. That is how he meant when he said I. Individuality, inspiration. That's how the usage of the letter I came into picture. When somebody asks, what is the weather? There's an app for that. How do I go here? There's an app for that. There's an app for that. I'm in deep thirst. There's an app for that. No, there's no app for that. The only app is what we are going to meditate upon today. And may the Lord speak to us through this ironic statement of Jesus. The I thirst is an ironic statement of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus that can be understood as well. So may the Lord bless the reading of this portion that we have read. May loving Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you may speak to each one of us. Lord, we go through different kinds of thirst. May you meet us in the time of our need and necessity and thirst. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the storyline of what has happened in the life of Jesus the night before he was crucified. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 onwards, I will read it. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Verse 29, listen to this carefully. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I don't know who was a great singer among the disciples, but they had a song. They had a communion, they had song. Sometimes we sing songs, also reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us. The point of attention here is in verse 29. Most likely, after Jesus said this, he might not have had anything to eat or drink. Most likely. And after that, they go into the Mount of Olives. Jesus spends time in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out and saying, "If it is your will, take this cup away from me, the cup of suffering." Knowing well that he was going to go through all of it. If we skip to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 27, verse 33. This was the third hour, I think, because 9 a.m. when Jesus, verse 33, when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. This is another occasion, just to let you know. There were two occasions which has happened. This happened the moment Jesus was crucified. Once he was hanging on the cross, probably before he said the first words. In the King James Version, it says, they gave him vinegar to drink mixed with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. In some English translations, it uses the word wine, vinegar. Vinegar has its source from grapes itself, just to let you know. If you did not know it, V-I-N-E, the fruit of the vine that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine." The fruit of the vine, that is why some translations use grape juice. V-I-N-E is a plant. The fruit of the vine is grape. Some people say that it could be alcoholic, it could be fermented. But the point of attention here that we are trying to understand in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 34, they gave him vinegar or something made of grapes, okay, to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This is a scripture fulfillment from Psalm chapter 69. Please, one of us, could you please read Psalm chapter 69 and verse 21? Psalm chapter 69 and verse 21, please. Yes, vinegar and gall, they were mixed, in other words. If at all we see here in Matthew chapter 27 verse 34, gall is a substance that is used from a bitter tasting substance. It's actually a bitter tasting substance from a plant such as wormwood or myrrh. Wormwood or myrrh, that is a plant that is there. Wormwood or myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H. From that, they take out a very bitter substance, and that is called gall. I don't know if it is any way related to the gallbladder that we talk about. Nowadays, we are hearing about gallbladder surgeries, removal, and all the infections that we have been hearing from some of us. The gallbladder. It could be, what I hear is that there is a bile juice that is produced. We have medical people here. I cannot explain as clearly as the medical people who are here. But it could be something related to some bitter substance. But here what we notice is, it is a scripture fulfillment of what was given to Jesus. And it was provided to people who are being punished in order to dull their pain. It's more like an anesthetic. You drink it so that you won't feel the pain. You have this gall, the wine or vinegar mixed with gall, in order to be able to taste it so that you won't have that feeling anymore. Like an anesthetic. Something that doesn't make you feel the pain. But here the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 verse 34, he was unwilling to drink. Jesus suffered for you and I. He knows the pain, how much it is, in order to be able to go through a punishment for sin. He was carrying the sin of the whole world, and he was a substitute for the sinners. And here we notice that Jesus was given that. Mark also mentions one more statement. Let's look at it from Mark chapter 15, verse 23. The reason why I'm trying to explain this as an introduction for us to be able to understand certain things. 15:22, then they brought to him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Mark 15:23, they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Myrrh or wormwood. From there comes gall, the bitter substance that was combined. That is why it is sometimes called a sour or bitter wine or vinegar. Mixed with myrrh. When Jesus was born, wise men brought three things. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each signifying something about Jesus Christ. Gold signifying the kingship of Christ. Frankincense signifying the priestship of Christ. And myrrh signifying the suffering of Jesus Christ. And the spices that were used. There's a song that is typically sung, though it may not be three kings, it may be more than one king. The songwriter says, it's a Christmas carol, "We three kings of Orient are." In that, one of the verses says, "Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb." I don't know if you have remembered the words of this song. We typically remember only the birth of Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas carols, birth of Lord Jesus Christ. But the purpose of the birth of Lord Jesus Christ was to be able to suffer and die for you and I. So myrrh that was given at that time is a significance of what was going to happen when Jesus was going to die on the cross. It uses this word, the songwriter says, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. During Christmas, meditating upon it, of course, Jesus was born to die for you and I. Now let's go to the book, the Gospel according to John chapter 19, where we have read from a contextual perspective. Let us look at it. John chapter 19. We have meditated John chapter 19 in one of the last sayings of Jesus Christ. The first saying from Luke chapter 23, "Father, forgive them for they know not what they do." And then we also notice that Jesus Christ told this person who was hanging on the cross, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And the third saying of Jesus Christ was taken in verse 26 and 27, "Woman, behold your son and behold your mother." Those three things must have happened in the first 3 hours from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., that was total darkness. At the ninth hour, the Bible says, according to Matthew and Mark, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out saying, "My God, Why have you forsaken me? We have meditated upon it last week. And now today, as we look into this, let's read verse 28. It says, after this. So some things have happened between where other gospel writers have recorded. Between when Jesus told woman, behold your son, behold your mother to John. After this means there were a couple of things that have happened in between. And when the time lapsed, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the 3 p.m. hour, approximately around that time, all the remaining four, the fourth saying, fifth, sixth, and seventh, all the remaining four were told approximately the same time. That is why some people try to reverse some of the words of Jesus. It could be so, but these were definitely spoken by Jesus. In verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished. Jesus, knowing, even in the worship exhortation time, we understood that we have a God who is an omniscient God. He is an all-knowing God. He knows everything. When Jesus Christ came down into this world as a human being, he knew everything. In verse 28, Jesus, knowing all things have already been accomplished. We are going to study about that next week, talking about the accomplishment. To fulfill the scripture said, I am thirsty. And after that, we see in verse 29, a jar full of sour wine was standing there. Say, they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it upon to his mouth. They brought again a sour wine, put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop. They took a hyssop upon the branch of hyssop. Probably that hyssop might still have some leaves. And then they put a sponge and they had the sour wine trying to put it to Jesus when he cried out, I am thirsty. Hyssop symbolizes something else. Hyssop reminds us of the Passover. Of the Passover, what they were told is to dip that hyssop in blood and apply it on the top of the doorpost, in order to be able to signify that this particular house is covered by the blood. So this hyssop is another reminder for each one of us. When they put this up to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. In other words, if we were trying to remember or try to correlate these various things that are happening, myrrh or hyssop, all this are some way or the other related to the Old Testament and the way in which Jesus Christ was the shadow of the things that were to come. My dear, today we are going to meditate upon T-H-I-R-S-T. T-H-I-R-S-T. And the one who shouted was C-H-R-I-S-T. And the one who can quench that is also C-H-R-I-S-T. T-H-I-R-S-T and C-H-R-I-S-T. And today we are going to look at certain important elements about this aspect about thirst. There were two things that we can see here. One is the physical side and the spiritual side. Jesus Christ was 100% human and also 100% God. While he was here on this earth, he went through thirst and hunger physically. And also he was 100% God as well. So today I want us to look at some things, four elements of our understanding about this thirst in the form of crosswords. The first thing that you and I need to understand is taken from Luke chapter 16. Those of us who have other languages, please be ready. I'll ask you to read it. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 was... Jesus Christ talks about two people here, rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19, I'll read it. Listen to this carefully. Luke 16, 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple, fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Probably this is a well-known story for many of us. Verse 22. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things. Likewise, Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And then he talks about the great chasm in between. Verse 24, I want us to focus upon. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in anguish. For I am in agony. I am in distress. I am tormented. That's what it says in different English translations. So please note it down as part of your first one down. Dip in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. So you can note down. One down, anguish. This word may not be a very common word that we use, anguish. Probably you might understand the word torment, or you might understand the word agony. Please read in any other language. Verse 24, Luke chapter 16 and verse 24. I am in agony. For those of us who may not understand the literal meaning of the word anguish or agony, yatana padam, going through so much of suffering. He was asking to let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off his tongue. Jesus was trying to explain how hell experiences, in other words, in this particular story that is being talked about, in his own words. The anguish that was happening to this rich man, he was so much in thirst, he was in anguish, that he said, just one drop of water, just one drop. Just dip and put it. Let cool off my tongue. Let me tell you, hell is terrible. Hell is terrible. It is hell. Some people say when they are feeling hot, especially summer is coming up, I feel like hell here. It's so hot. I'm so thirsty. Somebody might give you water here, but not in hell. Jesus experienced hell, in other words, experienced. He took the punishment of our sin to the point of experiencing anguish for us. Physically, he was going through so much of anguish or pain, the way in which he was hanging on the cross, reminding us that hell is terrible. Hell is terrible. Nobody wants to even think about hell. But many people are driving towards hell. Many of us, many people who think that they are good, who think that the things of this world are sufficient enough, they don't realize that once they die, there is something that will happen after. Either heaven or hell. The hell experience is terrible, Jesus was explaining here. And I tell you, it is very thirsty. Hell experience is a very thirsty experience, and it is not possible for us to even get a dip of water to be able to quench that thirst. Such is the kind of agony. When Jesus was carrying the sin of each one of us on the cross, being a substitute for us on the cross, he went through such a kind of a pain as I could think of, not only from a physical perspective, but from an aspect of reminding each one of us today, as we think about the thirst, that he took the thirst. He went through the thirst so that you and I may not thirst again. Such is the kind of way in which Jesus suffered for you and I. The anguish. The word anguish is repeatedly used even in one of the Psalms that relate to Jesus Christ and his suffering. Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. In my English version, New American Standard, the title of this chapter 22, the title of Psalm chapter 22 says, a cry of anguish and a song of praise. A cry of anguish and a song of praise. Take your time, my dear, and meditate upon Psalm chapter 22 sometime in your personal meditation to be able to recognize that this is a messianic psalm. And when I read this heading, a cry of anguish and a song of praise, I started reading the first verse. And the first verse is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ used these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? As a cry of anguish, not only did he say that, but also if you see in verse 15, in 15, it says, my strength is dried up like a pot shred. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Just imagine the kind of anguish that the psalmist is talking about. Probably Jesus must have spoken this all, the entire Psalm 22. We don't know, but definitely audibly, Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1, the first sentence was heard. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus might have gone through all these verses, and suddenly when it came to verse 15, he said, I thirst, probably. My strength is dried up like a pot shred. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. A dry tongue. A dry tongue. Something when I was trying to understand, again, I'm not a scientific person. I tried to research and find out what is this thirst? In what way is it related? A sensation of dryness in the mouth and the throat associated with a desire for fluids. Also, the bodily condition of dehydration induces thirst. The mouth and the throat gets dried up. We can't even speak out. You can imagine when Jesus spoke those words, how difficult it must have been to say those words. He said those words in order to fulfill the scriptures. With much difficulty, he said those words. Thirst is something we experience when the pituitary gland secretes two hormones in the body. One causes a physical reaction in the kidneys, and the other causes the more complicated activity of hypothalamus to send signals to the salivary glands to reduce secretions. This particular things that happen in the body result in thirst. To quench the thirst, we want to have something. We want to have some water. We get tired. We get dryness of our mouth. And we want to drink water. And the way in which they brought forth that sponge and given to Jesus, that was a terrible thing. You know, when we are thirsty, nothing satisfies us other than water. Even if somebody tries to give us anything else, soda also, no. Is there water? I'm thirsty, I want water. Even a little, one small ounce of water. That should be good enough. Such is the kind of agony and anguish that Jesus went through, my dear, for yourself and myself. Secondly, let us understand, two down is a song that we have sung just now. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Anguish in terms of the hell experience or the physical suffering that was going through is one thing, but there is something beyond physical that we can understand here. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was thirsting after that particular connection with God the Father. He was in that situation. So let's note it down. Probably by now you might have recognized two down is longing. The longing, Lord, why have you forsaken me? To that extent of not only going through physical thirst,
but the thirst for God. That is why the psalmist says, my soul longs after you. Some of the English translations use different words. It uses the word pant, panting. So my soul pants after you, or to be able to show forth the desire or longing. Thirst talks about longing, my dear. Some kind of a longing. Physically, when we go through thirst, there is a longing to quench that thirst by drinking some water or some kind of fluids in order to be able to quench and take away the dryness in our mouth.
Spiritually speaking as well, there is a longing. God has given a spirit to each person, and that void can be filled by God himself, nobody else. When Jesus was carrying the sin on the cross of Calvary, he felt that forsakenness, the turning of God away in terms of hand being gone, taken away. And he was thirsting after not only the physical thirst, but thirsting after coming back to that particular connection with God. My dear, do you have such a kind of longing? Today, as we look upon this, Jesus took that suffering of thirst so that we may not thirst, to the extent of reminding each other. Let's read another portion from Psalm chapter 143. One of us, if you open your Bibles quickly enough, please read Psalm 143 and verse 6. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a thirsty land or a parched land. The psalmist is constantly reminding of the fact that thirst for God is also something that you and I need to understand when we think about thirst, the longing. Longing. What are you longing after? What is your thirst? Who are you thirsty after? What are you thirsty after? A question to be answered. Are you going after the things of the world to satisfy your thirst? Are you going after the wealth of this world to satisfy your thirst? Are you going after the desires of this world to satisfy your thirst? God's word says the only way in which our thirst or longing can be quenched is in God. The God who has created us, the God who has given us the Spirit. The spirit which is dead in our lives needs to be awakened. And when it is awake, our spirit needs to constantly be thirsty for God. And that is important. Who are you thirsty after? When we go through temptations in our lives, how are we trying to satisfy the temptation? Thirsty for the sensuality, thirsty for the things of this world. So much so that we are forgetting the only one who can satisfy our thirst. John chapter 4 reminds us of that. There was a thirsty woman. That woman was going after the things of this world, trying to satisfy her thirst in the things of this world. John chapter 4 reminds us of that. And here it says in John chapter 4, Jesus, wonderfully, I like the way in which he talks in verse 3, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. He had to pass. Not that anything. He wanted to make sure that he obeys the will of the Father to the extent of not going through the Jordan River to bypass Samaria. But he had to pass through Samaria. As a Jew, he chose and he had to pass through Samaria. And there he meets a woman. Woman of Samaria. She was thirsty in one way or the other. But Jesus started off by saying, give me a drink in verse 7. He didn't say, I'm thirsty in this particular context. But probably physically he was tired. He sat. He let his disciples go to get some food. But for drinking purpose, for water drinking, he was right there at the well. And there was this Samaritan woman. Jesus said, give me a drink. And then we notice the way in which the conversation goes on. We don't need to go deep into it. You can read it if you do not know the details of it. Please go in your time and read it. In verse 10, Jesus said,
If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. And then verses 13 and 14, as it is projected, please join with me in reading John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 all together, please. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal, everlasting life. This is what Jesus is talking about. The water that is here, whoever drinks of this water, talking about the well, right there, the Jacob's well. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But the water that I shall give, the one who is asking for water, has taken that context of water and showed what it means to ask for that water. I will give him, will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal everlasting life. That is the longing. Jesus knew her longing, in other words. And then she says in verse 15, the woman said to her, sir, give me this water. Give me this water. Which water are you talking about? So that I don't need to come all the way here to draw. Then Jesus pointed out her thirst. I know I started off with physical thirst. I will now point out your spiritual thirst. The thirst, the spiritual dehydration that you are going through in your life, the spiritual disease that you are having, the spiritual sin that you are going through in your life, I'm going to point out in verse 16, Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. And she said, I do not have a husband. And then Jesus says, you have had five husbands. The one whom you have now with is not your husband. You have said it truly. Probably she was going after satisfying, or the longing that she was going after was not the right kind of the direction where she was going. And Jesus had to point out to her, my dear brothers and sisters, what kind of longing do we have? Where are we going in order to be able to fulfill that longing? Many times we go through that longing in our lives. Some people are so addicted that they are not able to come out of that thirst for the things of this world. Maybe this message should direct each one of us to be able to be careful with the kind of longing that we are going after, the thirst that we are going after. The Bible says that it is only in Jesus Christ can you have that longing to be able to be fulfilled. Thirdly, please note it down, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17. One of us, could you please read Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 17. The afflicted and needy are seeking water. But there is none. They are trying to seek after the things, but their tongue is also parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer. The thing that you and I note down in Across 3, O God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1. O God, I shall seek you earnestly. Longing is there, but you need to seek after as well. Not only having the longing, not only having the desire, but also to seek after God. Lord, my thirst for you, please be able to, I want to seek you all the days of my life. I will seek you earnestly. I will seek you earnestly. Where are you seeking? Where are you going after? Something to be able to note. So note it down, seeking, three acrosses, seeking. Very quickly, let's move on with what we are trying to understand here. Oh God, I shall seek you earnestly. Early, it will say in some of the translations. My soul thirsts for you. Please read in any other language. Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1. Anyone? In any other language. That's fine. Let's move on. Let's look at another scriptural portion from John chapter 7. John chapter 7. It also talks about something here, and I want us to read it together with me. You don't need to flip around here right now as I ask you to read it from John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39a. All together, shall we read this together, please? Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Again, Jesus pointed out, not only in John chapter 4, to the Samaritan woman, but publicly, in front of everyone, on the great day of the feast of the tabernacles, that last day, the priest would take the golden pitcher, go into the pool of Siloam, get the water, and take it into the temple. When he does it, everyone will shout out saying that we will draw water from the wells of salvation, Isaiah chapter 12. That is how the tradition was. So this priest took that golden pitcher and went into the pool of Siloam, poured the water into it, and while he was doing it, on that last day, Jesus used that particular context in order to be able to show forth the fact, saying that if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In other words, believe in me. Come to me and drink is a form of being able to tell drink. Jesus Christ went through the thirst. He knows what it means to be thirsty. He knows what it means to go through longing. He knows what it means to go through seeking after, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through the pain and temptations. He was tempted in every way, the Bible says. He was tempted in every way to the extent of going through thirst, though he himself is the one who will satisfy our thirst. And that is what the next one that you can note it down, please. The last one that we can see here, across 4, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul. Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul. Note it down, 4 across, satisfied. This is something that you and I need to recognize here. The one who said that you come to me, those who are thirsty, he says that I'm going to satisfy your thirst. When we go after the world to be able to fulfill the desires of this world, that will never satisfy us. But the Bible says the one who comes to Jesus Christ, in other words, who believes in Jesus Christ, that he is the one who is the source of living waters. The Bible says that he will never thirst. Many, many scriptural references, even in Revelation chapter 21. It says, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. It says, and the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It is a free gift of salvation. Talking about thirst, reminding that Jesus Christ is the one who is the source of the living water, but he went through pain and agony and anguish for your sake and my sake, so that you and I need not go through that. You and I need not go through that. Instead, to believe in this Jesus and be satisfied in him. Satisfaction. Let me tell you, this word satisfied is something that many of us are not able to have. Augustine said, our hearts are restless, O Lord, unless they find rest in you. Our hearts are restless, O Lord, unless they find rest in you. We are going through restlessness in our lives. Are you going through restlessness? It's something like a thirst for something. Bible says that he's the one who gives us rest. But God had a complaint about his people. I want to share that complaint from Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Few verses I just want us to read so that we can really understand the heart of God in this sense. Verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. I'll read it. Listen to this carefully. For my people have committed two evils
my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Secondly, they were hewing for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The best place to get fresh water is at the fountain. And rather than going to the fountain and getting that fresh water, the alternate for them is to have a cistern. Cistern is a place where, like a pot, where they store that and try to drink water from it. And these people took an alternative. Instead of fountain of living waters, they started going after cisterns. You know, those cisterns are broken cisterns that hold no water. But they are thinking, this is the place I'll get satisfaction. This is the place I'll get satisfaction. Instead of going to the one who is a fountain of living water, two evils they have done. First, they have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters. Secondly, they started having their own cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. God has made this as a complaint. What are we doing? How are we trying to satisfy our thirst? Are we going to the fountain of the living water? Or are we trying to satisfy our own desires by creating something for ourselves? Why should I go there? I can create a cistern for myself. I don't need to go anywhere. I can have that and try to satisfy myself. But God is saying they're broken cisterns. They hold no water. They are not able to understand it. They're thinking that they'll get satisfaction in that, my dear. So let us be very watchful. Especially in terms of understanding that this thirst can be satisfied only in God who came down into this world. And he said, whoever comes to me, I will give them living water. The fountain of living water. But Jesus went through that thirst for you and I. When I keep wondering that, how could Jesus go through that thirst when he himself is the one who said that I am the one who will give you water. He gave up everything. He could say, rain, fall. And he could just open his mouth and quench his thirst. No, he wanted to go through the pain. He didn't have that when they were trying to give him that vinegar with gall. He went through the atrocious pain for you and I, my dear. So that you and I will never need to go through that hell experience. Let me tell you, hell experience is terrible. You can't even come back and tell somebody else also like the rich man. The opportunity is given while we are here on this earth. There's a story talked about a foreigner who came to America who saw a water fountain for the first time in his life. Water fountain, do you know that? You know what it is, water fountain, where you get the water, you just bend down and have the water. But he could not see how to make it work. It had no tap. No buttons to press. He became very angry. He was so hungry, thirsty. He wanted to quench that thirst. He couldn't see anything there. He became very angry and frustrated. He was about to turn away when somebody pointed out to him a little sign on the bottom of the fountain that simply said, stoop and drink. Stoop and drink. Well, when he stooped over, he discovered that an electric eye, a sensor, detected his presence, and the water automatically came flowing out. You see, when you come to Jesus, that is what happens. Don't try to see, is there something that I need to do here and there in order to be able to get the water? Just come. Come as you are, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come. When he is working in us, what is preventing us to come forward and be able to accept that water and quench our thirst? Where the Bible says you will thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Last Friday we were singing the song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is how you'll be experiencing the joy of the Lord. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to be prepared to take part in the Lord's table that is set ahead of us.